We're all thirsty for a little excitement to break up the boring, and the makers of Bubbly have released a new sparkling water beverage called Bubbly Burst, a drink that flips the script on boring with a burst of bold fruit flavors. So I wanted to talk about some of the things that made me and my family burst out laughing this week. First, here at the Vile Files, we love watching reality TV, and we watch a lot of TV to get ready for the show, which is funny because we had family in town over the weekend, and they asked what we had to do. I said, well, we have some work to do, and then they were like, well, what do you mean work? Because we spent the whole Saturday just watching, you know, reality TV. And they were, well, it seemed a bit envious that what we called work, they call watching TV, which is, well, it made me laugh. I'm obviously committed to my job. Second, we're in full wedding prep, and I just got my first pair of cowboy boots, and Natalie says she needs to now teach me how to line dance before our welcome party, which, as you can imagine, has been a ton of fun, created a lot of laughs between us, because there's nothing more fun and funny than to goof around with my lovely fiancé. And lastly, our daughter River has really been making us laugh out loud with all of her fake cries and weird facial expressions. We like to think that she's being dramatic. She's just being a baby, but it's really keeping us... keeping our spirits high and laughing out loud all the way to no sleep. So let me know what you relate to and what makes you burst out laughing this week. And don't forget to try Bubbly Burst. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Vile Files. I am your host, Nick, joined by Chrissy. If you're not following the Vile Files on Instagram, go ahead and give us a follow. We'll be doing some cool things on there. Be sure to check that out, as well as some fun interactive things with our Ask Nick episodes. Well, what a great episode. Allie Webb joins us. Allie Webb, for those of you who don't know, is a very successful and wonderful businesswoman. She founder of Dry Bar, also a shark from time to time. A guest shark on Shark Tank. And we talk a lot about women in the workforce, second chances, dating, divorce, having a relationship with
working with someone you're married to. Yeah.
Working with someone you're married to. Actually, a lot of fun. A lot of fun episode. Also, she is one of Ben's clients, Ben from Tayshia's season. So I think that's it.
Let's
go ahead. Give us a follow on Instagram. Allie, thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.
So nice to have you on. For starters, I just want to tell you that I've been to one of your dry bars.
You mentioned that you have a dry bar story. So,
well, I was in New York and I was at a hotel and I was
Parker Meridian.
I don't remember. I was like by the water. I don't know where I was. That's a little vague.
But I mean, the only hotel that we're in New York City is the Parker Meridian.
Wasn't in a hotel.
Oh, you were just near.
I needed hairspray for some reason.
Were you at like Lower East, like Ludlow? Because we're just right across from that. I mean, we have like 15 or 20 locations in New York.
Okay,
so
yeah.
This is gonna
so
be
I
tough.
Was at one of them.
Okay.
Anyways,
I walked in for hairspray.
I went in
a
hairspray.
Guy walked
so
into
I,
a bar.
I Googled. No, it's funny because I'm like, hey, I need some hairspray. And you know, obviously, if you have never been
you
to a dry
use
bar.
Hairspray?
Sometimes, usually not, but for whatever reason, I don't remember why I required hairspray that day. I have curly hair. I think maybe I wanted to straighten it a little bit.
That's the whole reason Dry Bar exists, by the way, because I have curly hair and wanted it straight.
Is that why?
Yeah, I mean, it's a longer story, but yes.
How fortuitous that I needed to keep my hair straight, so I found a dry bar found me, really. I walked in. Their customer service was fantastic, but I just need some hairspray. They're like, well, fine, but let us.
Did you get like your hair washed and blown out?
No.
Oh, that would have been an even better story.
It would have.
Yeah, but
if
okay.
I like got.
Because I mean, guys do go in, not a lot. I mean, I feel like it's like it is more like New York or like West Hollywood, where we have guys that come in who have longer hair and want it blown out. Because you know, if like for example, if your hair was long, you might want it blown straight since it's curly.
How'd you get the idea for Dry Bar?
Well, because I mean, I've been a professional hairstylist for I don't even know how many years now, 20 years.
Really?
But,
okay. Well.
Yeah. Well, I started when I was like in my early 20s. I'm in my mid 40s.
Doing
now.
Hair.
Yeah, because I grew up in South Florida, and if you've ever been to Florida, it's very very humid and it's terrible for your hair.
Yes.
My hair was like curly, frizzy hair, and I hated it as a kid, and I couldn't like manage it, and it just was always this thing that bugged me. And
same,
yeah. Is it humid in Wisconsin?
In the summer, yeah.
Yeah. But so, you know, it was just this thing that always bugged me. And like, you know, long, very long story short, and just not knowing what I wanted to do with my life. And, you know, I always just had this, like, there was this, like, seed, I think, planted in me when I was a kid that I just was so envious of how, you know, I'm really dating myself, but like the Christie Brinkleys and Cindy Crawford. Do you even know who those people are? Yeah. I don't know. I'm just, I don't know how old you are. you know,
I'm old enough.
An appropriate age.
They had like this beautiful bouncy hair, and truly as a kid I was like, how in the world did they get their hair to look like that? My hair doesn't look like that, and I can't figure out how to get it to look like that. And it was just always this thing that I was like personally obsessed with, which, you know, fast forward to all these years later, and you know, I went to college for like a second. I did, college wasn't for me. And then I moved to New York City, and I lived in New York and thought I wanted to work in fashion, and I did that for a while, and then that didn't work out, you know, like I wanted it to, and or I just realized that wasn't what I wanted to do. And so I went to beauty school in my like early 20s and like completely fell in love with it and learned how to blow up my own hair and just loved everything about the industry, and you know, proceeded to work in salons and do hair for a long time until I met my now ex-husband in New York City, and then we moved to LA. We had two kids. I have two boys who are now 13 and 15. And I was a stay-at-home mom for about 5 years. And then after being a stay-at-home mom for about 5 years, I was like, I feel like I'm going to lose my mind. I need to get out there and do other things. And so I started a mobile blow-dry business. And that was probably in 2008, 2009.
A mobile blow-dry business.
Yeah, so I was basically like running around LA blow-drying all my mommy friends. Because at that point, I had just moved from New York. And I only really was like, I was in like the mom, the LA mommy culture, because I had babies, and that's how I made all my friends.
I've dabbled in the mommy LA culture. I have
you
some
have?
There's so many ways to take that sentence right now.
I'm like,
I have friends who are in the LA mommy world, and I've, you know, as some of them are Bachelor fans, so like I've been introduced to many moms.
It's funny. I mean, not, I don't know how much you like talking about the Bachelor world, but I, ironic. Well, it's funny because this interview popped up for me, and then yesterday on my podcast Raising the Bar, we interviewed Dale Moss, who's on the seasons of Bachelorette, and my trainer is Ben Smith, who is on the show right now as a bachelor, and I'm like, there's so much.
Ben's your trainer.
Yeah, and like friend, and
interesting.
I know, he's so cute, but there's, but it's just like the Bachelor universe is like
consuming you.
And then they're like, oh, you're going to go, you know, sit down with Nick. And I was like, Nick, the Bachelor guy. And it's like, not that you're so much more than that. Just say it like that.
Please keep talking. No, I'm kidding. It's fine.
Stop talking now. No. I'm just saying, it's like, you know, there must be something in the air.
Do you have a Ben story?
Ben Smith?
Yeah.
Well, just that I started.
Tea, dirt, whatever.
No, I don't really. I just, a girl that I was working with, who's like a nutritionist, like coach kind of thing, you know, wanted to get me starting on a workout routine, and started me at this place called Deuce, which is a gym, like a local West Hollywood gym, but they're not open right now, obviously, because of COVID. So they've been training outside at Pan Pacific Park. And so Ben is one of the guys who does all the training. So I've been doing that for the last 3 months. And then he was like, oh, by the way, I'm on The Bachelorette this season. I'm like, oh, no shit. You know, I should go watch that so I can see you. I haven't really watched it.
He's doing quite well.
He is doing well.
Yeah.
He is doing well. Yeah. He really dropped some
very
stuff
vulnerable
these
that
last
Ben.
Few weeks. Telling yeah, no, stories. It's great. I'm very proud of him. It's I think he's doing really well. Yeah. So yeah. So that's it. I don't really have any dirt on Ben.
That's fine. We like Ben. I mean, not that we want any stories, like anecdotal.
No, he's just like a really nice guy. You know, I mean,
yeah, the person Ben, not, you know, because I'm sure we get to know the reality TV.
Well, I mean, I've really just watched, you know, the small little snippets of him on TV, but he's really sweet. And like, he really loves what he does with like training people. And yeah, super, super personal, easy to talk to. Like, I think a lot of what you see on TV is like really kind of how he is in real life.
Yeah. So we're seeing what you see is what you get. What we're seeing is the person
that
he is.
And I even said to him after I saw the episode where he talks about the suicide and all that, I was like, it was so sweet. And like, just how you told me the story, it wasn't like, it was not like for TV version, you know? So yeah, he's a great guy.
Back to
back
mobile,
to me
mobile search. Blow drying yeah. that in the mommy world.
Yeah, so I was like really just looking for something to do to get out of the house and do something for myself. I thought I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and just stay with the kids. And then, like I said, after 5 years of that, I just got the itch to do something for myself. So I posted on like all these mommy blogs and whatever that I was going to, you know, come to your house and blow dry your hair for $40 while your baby's sleeping. Like that was like the big business plan. And sure enough, women started calling me.
But you were the one doing it.
I was the one doing it. And I wanted to do it. It was like a way, you know, to get out of the house for a couple hours and make some extra cash. And, you know, between gas and driving around LA, I'm not sure I actually made any money, but it was perfect for me at the time because it got me like, you know, doing my own thing and talking to women and not just talking to my children and being at the park all day. Mm-hmm. So anyways, it was during that time that I realized like there's a pretty big hole in the marketplace and there's no place like Drybar, which obviously didn't exist then or anything like it, where you can go in for a great blowout at an affordable price, you know, in a beautiful setting. It just, there was nothing like it. And I thought surely there was enough women who lived in LA who, I got really busy really fast. And I was like, you know, I could only handle so many blowouts a day because I still had to go pick up my kids and whatever. So I was like, there must be an opportunity here to have like a brick and mortar instead of me running around town, going to women's homes, have them start coming to me. And so that's what, you know, I kind of set out to do. And I got my ex-husband, who's like a creative genius. He's worked in advertising, big advertising agencies his whole life. And my brother, who's like kind of the business side of things. And they're both bald too, by the way, ironically. And I got them both involved and said, hey, I want to, you know, turn my mobile business into a brick and mortar. Will you help me? And they were all in. And so, you know, the rest is kind of history.
Very cool. We have a lot of moms and wives who listen to this show. And we often get people who ask questions around reinventing themselves, overcoming adversity, things like that. I find that so many people, men or women, once they get into their 20s, especially if you're like from like the Midwest or like the South, or there's this idea that like once you're 20 and then you like find love and you have a kid, that like that's your life.
Yeah.
And and it's truly kind of scary to reinvent yourself, to take a risk, to realize that you have so much more life, hopefully, to live. Like, what advice or what was it for you that gave you kind of that courage to try to do this? I mean, I know you mentioned like you got a little antsy and you were kind of tired of maybe just going to the park, but a lot of people feel that way, but don't take the plunge or doubt their ability to do it. You know, what were some of the things that you found that helped you motivate you, or were you scared or were you just like, oh, I'm just going to do this?
Well, my parents were entrepreneurs. So I grew up in a very like entrepreneurial environment. And I, you know, for me, it's like, I've always been a kind of a risk taker and follow like what feels right. And, you know, I kind of glossed over, but as you know, as I was growing up in my early 20s, I moved a lot around a lot. I was, you know, I was a hairstylist. I owned my brother and I, when I was living in New York, I was working for a fashion designer. And then we moved back to South Florida and opened up a couple of stores there. And then, you know, and that's kind of when I made the decision to go to beauty school. And even after working in the hair industry for years, and I pivoted again and ended up taking a job in PR. This was all when I was still in New York, just because for me, I've always been very like follow what like kind of gets me excited to get out of bed in the morning, what kind of lights me up. And so, you know, I think this Drybar thing, and you know, the reason I started the mobile business was because I wasn't, to your point, feeling fulfilled. I got married, I had babies, and I thought that's what I wanted my life to be. And then I realized that it wasn't what I wanted my life to be entirely. So I, you know, searched for something else. And I was like, hey, this is, and that's where I think the entrepreneurial spirit comes in with my parents, you know, having their own business. It's like, for me, it's like, it wasn't, I was like, oh, I'm just going to do this thing and start this business. And, you know, not, I didn't think much about it. And it was just like a means to, you know, to fill this like itch that I had. Or scratch this itch that I had. And I think that, you know, that's kind of what has always guided me, is this like, you know, not allowing myself to do something that like people think I should be doing, you know, to really do what I want to do. And and for me, it was like, you know, starting the mobile business was something I wanted to do for myself. And then realizing there was this opportunity for Drybar was just like, that felt like what was next. And I think I've always kind of been guided by that. I need to kind of do what I really love to do. And I think a lot of people, you know, get really kind of bogged down in this, like, oh, you know, I can't do this because this isn't like what I'm supposed to be doing. And there's this weird, you know, I think it's also too, like, you know, a lot, I hear from a lot of women who want to start their own business, but they have a pretty good job and they're making mm-hmm. pretty decent money, yeah. but they're like, but this is not my real passion. This is not what I want to be doing, but I don't want to leave all this money. And I, you know, so it's like, for me, I've always just, like I said, been really like driven and like led by my passion and what I want to do. And that's kind of the best advice I give people is like, you got to just follow. I really believe in following like what makes you feel excited, because life is short, you know, and it's like to be doing something that you're not all in on is like, ugh.
Nothing like sleeping on the most comfortable mattress in the world, like Helix Sleep. And the best thing about having Helix Sleep is how easy it was to get the mattress that was perfect for me. I did that by taking their online quiz that was very short, brief, but very informative, so they could align me with the perfect mattress. Now me, I'm a side sleeper. I got the Midnight mattress. And their quiz helps to help you figure out like how you sleep, what your habits are, what your comfort style is, whether you have a partner, whether you fall asleep right away, stuff like that. Am I right, Chrissy? Anything I'm missing in terms of what their quiz
offers?
Yeah,
but they also, part of their sleep quiz is also like, do you have back pain? Do you have hip pain? Do you have all that kind of stuff? You can tell them that. And so they can match you with the right mattress to make sure that you're sleeping well and help ease that pain.
Well, I'll tell you what, I took that quiz, nailed it. I passed the flying colors because my mattress is perfect for me, has been perfect for me, and I couldn't be happier since
you're a side sleeping fool.
So check out Helix Sleep, and you don't have to take my word for it. I mean, I don't know how many thousands and thousands of people have given it a wonderful review. Also, it's GQ and Wired Magazine's Mattress of the Year, not only in 2020, but last year in 2019. Just go to helixsleep.com/VIALL, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out with for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will, as long as you ace that quiz. Just be honest. That's all you have to do. You know, as Chris Harrison would say, if you're just honest and real, you will find love, and that is the love of your mattress. I don't know about like in a relationship, but at least with your mattress. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/VIALL. That is helixsleep.com/VIALL for up to $200 off and two free pillows. The best part of the new year is getting a clean slate and trying to meet your new fitness goals, and FitTrack is helping you do that. Obviously, people have been using scales for a long, long time, but your weight is just one small part of your overall wellness. There's things like your body density,
your BMI, your hydration levels, your muscle mass,
your muscle rate, your body water, your bone mass, your BMR, your protein rate, your metabolic age, your vascular fat index. A lot of good information that is available now with FitTrack. All you have to do is step on their scale, download their very easy app. I've been using it for 3 weeks now, and it's a lot of fun. Every day is a new challenge to see if I'm meeting my goals. And it's not just about weight anymore, is it now? Because there's all these other things I can use to make sure I'm doing what I want and what I need, not only with my diet, but my exercise, to make sure I'm maintaining and meeting those goals. With FitTrack, I can build better habits and make a real long-term lifestyle change versus a quick fix. Being able to compare my goals to the progress I'm actually making with FitTrack's measurements keep me accountable and motivated, because I know my body better in the areas I need to focus on. The Dara Smart Scale can help me reach fitness goals 8 times faster. Stop measuring weight and start measuring health with FitTrack. Go to fittrack.com/VIALL and take 50% off your order. Plus, for a limited time, you'll get an additional 10% off. That's GETFITTRACK.com/VIALL to save 50% off, plus get an additional 10% off your order. Don't miss out on this amazing limited time offer. Get fittrack.com/VIALL. I just always find it fascinating that for whatever reason, we've decided we're supposed to figure out the rest of our lives.
I know.
In the first third of our life.
Well, I mean, and for me, it's also like, you know, I got divorced over 2 years ago, but I was married for 16 years. And it was like, the person I was when I met my ex-husband when I was like 25 is very, very different than the person I became at, you know, 30 and 35 and 40. And it was like, it's to your point, you change and evolve so much from your 20s to your 30s to your 40s, you know, and our, you know, my marriage and that relationship just didn't make it through. I changed a ton, you know, mm-hmm. and what I wanted when I was in my 20s compared to what I wanted in my 30s and my 40s is very, very different. So I agree with yeah. that statement.
So in your ex-husband helped you start Dry
yeah.
Bar.
Yes.
How, like, that must have been a challenge to face that
yes.
kind of realization. You have kids, you had a business together. Yeah. Like, how did you come to that determination? I ask because, again, we have a lot of people who listen to the show who...
Sure.
That fear of moving on, how to let go, how do you kind of come to those decisions and make it and, you know, find the happiness that you felt maybe deep down that you deserved, and nothing against your ex-husband or the relationship, it just maybe wasn't as nurturing for the both of you anymore.
Well, I mean, I think that a lot of people end up staying in unhappy marriages because of a lot of reasons. You know, they're scared to leave, and it is scary. It's like that wasn't probably the hardest decision I've ever made in my life. You know, but I felt like it wasn't like the right thing for us anymore. And, you know, and it took a lot of courage, I guess is the best way to put it, you know, to decide to end the marriage. And I think, you know, like I said, a lot of women get stuck in this, like, what will my life look like without this marriage, without this, you know, my partner. And, you know, and I'm not advocating for divorce. You know, it's funny because I have been somewhat public about my divorce, and I get a lot of people who reach out to me and they're like, I'm really unhappy. I'm thinking about leaving my husband. Like, can you give me some advice? And I'm like, shit, no, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's like, I did what was right for me. And I think that you have to come to that yourself, and you have to, you know, figure out it's an incredibly tough road. And it was probably that first year after my divorce was like the most hellish year of my life. I mean, it was horrific. And I, you know, and it's, but on the other side, I'm much, much, much happier now than I've ever been in my life.
Totally.
You know, I didn't know if that was going to happen or not. It was like, it was such a leap of faith to decide to do that. But I just knew deep down I wasn't happy. I knew he wasn't happy. And I also felt like that, like, unhappiness that we were generating was really bad for our children. As hard as the divorce was on our kids, because it was hard for them. I mean, you know, they were old enough to understand it completely. You know, it was like, I want my kids to grow up seeing their mom and dad in love and happy, and what that looks like. Where what we were showing them was like, even my kids say now, like, oh, it's so good that you and Tag got divorced. You guys fought all the time, you know? And I was like, we did? I didn't really think we fought all the time. We just weren't that happy, you know, because we were so distracted with running the business.
Yeah, and kids are intuitive and they feel the energy.
So intuitive. Yeah. And so I think I got to the point where I was like, I don't think this is right for, this is good or right or healthy for any of us. And I think that I need to, like, take this leap of faith. And, you know, and had I known what was on the other side, I don't know if I would have. I still would have. I just don't. I got
right
so
on the other side.
Right on the other side. I mean, I got knocked so on my ass.
You can't worry about that. And it's funny. You said I don't want to advocate for divorce. And I was thinking to myself, do I advocate for divorce often on this show? But I don't. What I do, I think a big part of what we advocate for on this show is to look past kind of the cultural shames and judgments that come with certain things in life, like divorce, right? Because
I mean, I did not want, I mean, talk about shame. I was like, I do not want to be a divorced person. I don't want that, like, label. It
the
felt like
label,
very, like, the scarlet letter.
The religious
letter.
Kind of, like, I came up in a very Catholic family. I don't think there's any, like, religion that is like divorce option one.
Well,
you know, like,
go for it.
Yeah. It's cool. You know, like, there's always a shame.
Yes, there's a stigma.
And a stigma.
And
I'm just a big advocate of whether it's divorce, is one of those things, but just the shame and guilt of doing something, to your point, that is scary, is, you know, in some regards self-serving, but also could be beneficial for your circle around you.
Yeah.
And ignorance is sometimes bliss. I wonder if you would agree.
Oh.
Because, like,
are
I talk
about... That's like my tagline in life.
I mean, I think about... I did a podcast, The Bright Side. I was a guest. I don't think it's Well, I don't know if it'll come out by the time this comes out. I don't fucking know timing. But yeah. My point was, like, she was asking about, like, me moving to LA, and I was working at Salesforce, and mm-hmm. I had a very, like, established life. I mean, I had the six-figure job, the career path. I liked the job, you know, and, like, the life happened. But if someone would have, like, said, okay, fine, you're going to move to LA and see what you can make of it, this is actually what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And laid it out. And then, like, you know what? I'm good. Yeah. I'm going to go. Like, but not knowing enough mm-hmm. allowed me to take that risk. And there's something to be said about that.
Because I agree.
In the short term, it is uncomfortable and scary. You're just like, what the fuck did I do?
Yeah. So uncomfortable and scary. I mean, change, you know, it sounds so cliche, but change is always uncomfortable and scary. And so people stay away. People don't like change historically, you know, mm-hmm. but it's like the promise of what's on the other side. And I think for me, I felt like, you know, with all due respect to my ex-husband, and I have a great relationship with him now. It didn't happen right away, but now we're on really good terms. But like, I just was like, this can't be it for us. For us separately, like, I, you know, and he, while there was like a lot of turmoil and it was hard at first, he also knew that it was the right thing, and we, you know, we just had some things that we couldn't, you know, overcome. And it's like, you want to be able to, I wanted us both to be able to like get to something else that we weren't able to, you know, achieve in our marriage. And it's just,
no, it makes a lot of sense. What is something that you know, whether it's divorce or even a breakup or I guess whatever it is, what was it that allowed you to persevere through those uncomfortable times? Because a lot of people will be like, oh, I'm going to do this. Yeah. And then all of a sudden,
back out.
It like falls to shit. The first, you know, the first thing that happens is that it gets harder, not easier. Yeah. You're like, oh, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I regret, you know, and they run back to whatever it was that they were unhappy with, but was also comfortable, even if that comfort zone was still like unhappy and tumultuous. Mm-hmm. Like, what was it that caused you to persevere?
Well, I mean, I think I've always been very, very, you know, I know exactly what I want. I know, you know, and I'm pretty decisive on the decisions I make. And I'm not like a much, go back to things. I'm a pretty like, this is my decision. And sure, there were moments there was a lot of times when after my divorce that I was like, oh man, like, this is yikes, you know, where I was so depressed. And I had never, I've always been like a pretty like happy-go-lucky person. And I went through like, you know, I think it was like situational depression mm-hmm. when I was, you know, to your point, like my life as I knew it was just so different. And this, I mean, it was like, I know this sounds a little woo-woo, but I was doing a show and I met this guy who had written a book called like, I can't remember. So Energy Heals. I think that's the name of the book. And he was like,
LA.
I know, it's so LA. It's fine. And he was like, I was on the show doing an interview, and then he was on after me, and he was talking about this. And at this point in my life, I was like, if you would have met me 2 years ago, I probably would have like told you like a lot of information you didn't want to hear. And I was very like, I would cry all the time. You know, I like could barely get my shit together enough to do this show, but I did the show and I talked to this guy after, cause I was so interested in what he was saying. And I had done, I also did like all the stuff after my divorce. Like I went to like this place called OnSite, which is like an intense therapy center, like outside Nashville, where like they take your phone and you're like in therapy all day. I mean, just in, and I did all the stuff. And
it's like going on The Bachelor.
Like transcendental meditation and all these things. Anyways, I meet this guy and he says to me, and I had spent like probably 6 months doing like intense, like I was going to therapy twice a week. I was doing all the shit. And he said to me, your husband held an energy in your life that nobody holds anymore. And I was like, oh my God, that was it.
What does that mean?
Well, he said, because people would say to me, like, you're grieving the loss of your marriage. And I was like, I am not grieving. Nobody died. Like, that's stupid. I couldn't hear that. You know, I was like, he's alive. I'm alive. Nobody died. You know, but, and I was like, and I wanted the divorce. Like, I was like, I don't understand this. Like, I'm supposed to be like happy. And my big plan was like, I was going to get divorced and I was going to be dating and I was going to have this super fun life. And that didn't happen. And then I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then when I had gone through therapy and I was coming through it, but this guy said that. And, you know, it was like, because I had this partner, this person that I had been with for 16 years, it's like 16 years is a long time. It's a lot of time.
Yeah.
And so
I can't do anything for 3 weeks.
I know. I mean, it's like, it's a long time. So now I'd had this person that even though I wasn't in love with anymore, that I was like, I would talk to every day and I would bounce ideas off of and we would raise the children together and all the things. And now it's like, oh, now you don't have any of that. Like, you know, we weren't talking really. And you have to like figure out all the kid decisions by yourself. I'm now in a new house by myself. And it's like everything was like by myself. And I was like, you know, it was very fucking lonely.
Hey, and one more useful thing that we have to help you meet your fitness goals. Beachbody On Demand offers over 1,500 at-home workouts plus nutrition plans. So no matter what your goals are, they have a program that'll help you build and keep healthy habits. This is the company behind P90X Insanity and 21 Day Fix. Now check out some of Beachbody's newest programs like Muscle Burn Fat and 80 Day Obsession. And the great thing about Beachbody is they clearly have a history of fun, invigorating, and successful workouts. So if you're looking to mix it up, have introduced new workouts in your routine from the safety of your home, Beachbody is the place to go. Access anywhere, anytime, view workouts on your computer, your smart TV, tablet, smartphone, Roku, Apple TV, Comcast, and more. It's easy to work out. On the go, you can clearly do this on your phone. Sometimes a short 10-minute workout is all you need to maintain your wellness. So just mix it up. They have bodybuilding classes, weight training, cardio, yoga, dance workouts, all that and more. Beachbody. Me personally, I've been using their weight training program. It's been a lot of fun. I'm trying to build up that muscle mass, and it's been helpful for me because you know what I do? I do the same thing over and over again, and then your return on investment is decreased. Your law of diminishing return. And Beachbody is helping me maximize my workout and maximizing the results of my workout. And it's been a lot of fun doing it. 2020 is behind us, so it's a new year, which means it's time to meet those new fitness goals. To get a special free trial, no obligation membership, text VIALL to 303030. You'll get full access to an entire platform, all the workouts, nutrition information, support, absolutely free. Just text VIALL to 303030.
It makes sense because it sounds like hearing you talk that like you wanted to get divorced. Maybe there was a lot missing in the relationship, but there was still a mutual respect.
And we were, we were very good friends. And even now.
So you could fight, but you could be like, hey, I still want to ask your opinion and your question. And now as a divorced couple, that was like there's boundaries that you had to start establishing.
Tons of boundaries. Yeah. It's like I couldn't. And as you come out of a divorce, it's kind of this like foggy, like what can you ask and what can you talk about and what can't you? And, you know, in the beginning, Cam is my ex-husband. He was like, I sometimes would talk to him about the kids stuff or whatever. And he's like, I don't know, you're on your own. And I'm like, what? But that is a break that I needed. We did need to establish those boundaries. So I don't know how other people.
Was that like a co-parenting decision? I don't know. I don't have kids, so I don't know how that works.
Now we're really great. And like the rules are the same at both houses and we talk all the time and things are great. But in those first few months, you know, we weren't really talking to each other. So we weren't parenting together, which wasn't great for anybody. I mean, those first few months were like the wild, wild west, and it in a terrible way.
From like, and you guys were just mad at each other?
We were just not talking. And so like the kids could play them, like us off each other. Yeah. Like there was like, what I was doing, what he was doing was different. And like, I don't know that there's like, I wish we had done the beginning differently. It was funny. One time we were divorced, right? We were separated and I was in New York for work. And I was having just like a really bad day. And I actually called Cam like crying and was like, I just feel so lost and alone. And I don't know, you know, I was just really overwhelmed. And he had the exact moment I called him, he was listening to the Gwyneth Paltrow podcast where she's talking about her divorce from Chris Martin and how I actually haven't even listened to this, which I can't believe, but how they really tried to like stay friends and for the kids and whatever. And he was like, I do think that like, we need to kind of keep it together. And he was like very comforting to me in that moment, and that, you know, and so like there was fits and starts, and like sometimes it was like that and sometimes it wasn't, but you know, we figured it out and we're in a good place. Like I'm happy to report we were all together for Thanksgiving, you know, my ex-husband, his new girlfriend, I live with my new boyfriend, his ex-wife,
everyone gets along.
Everyone it's together. It's fine. It's fine. And it was really for the kids. We're like, we want the kids and like everybody to be together. And it feels like this should be a family thing. And if we, you know, I really wanted, I really facilitated that. I invited Cam, I invited my boyfriend's ex. I was like, I think we should all be together. You know, I think that's what it should look like. It's going to be uncomfortable.
You
and
even
hard.
Had your boyfriend's ex come. You expanded the awkwardness.
I did.
Well done. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Did you find that Good was test. Therapeutic?
I mean,
like, at what point you're like, all right, it's too much.
I mean, it's like, it's a lot. And it's like, it is a very, I mean, navigating, you know, a relationship with my boyfriend's ex-wife is really challenging. And, you know, navigating all of those relationships is really tough because they're not like any relationship you've ever known before. Like, it's not like a, like his ex-wife is not like a friend, like a normal friend would be to me. Like, but I want us to be friends, but I don't really, it's an odd thing. And same with his, with Cam's girlfriend. It's just a weird, I'm still figuring
it's kinda,
that
it's
out.
It's kind of like, it's like sub siblings without the unconditional yeah. love.
Kind of. Yeah.
I mean, like, I
but I'll tell you what's really interesting and fascinating to me about it is like all the kids. So my boys are 13 and 15 and my boyfriend's kids are 6 and 4. They all are like thick as yeah. thieves. They love each other. They're like super comfortable together. It's like, it's great.
But it's like a forced friendship.
It's such a beautiful.
But there's no ego there, I'm yeah. guessing.
But for, not for the kids. It's for the kids, it's like it took a little time, but they're like, they genuinely all really like each other. And there's no awkwardness with them. They're like, oh, yeah, that's
I'm guessing because there's no ego.
Yeah, probably.
But for the exes, like, there's got to like, be a force. It's like a forced friendship.
Yes.
Not only that, but
the exes, yes,
yes,
I agree.
But also with the exes, like you're like mature, like you get it. We're doing this for the greater good.
Exactly.
But there's still ego.
There is, yes.
You know, and it's kind of like.
I know, it goes. And it,
am
and
I
it
still better than
yeah.
her, her? You know, like,
the
am I?
The comparison game is
right?
brutal.
Yeah,
like, you
you're
can't
just like.
Get into that.
You know, like, your ego checks in. It's like, I'm better, right? Like, I'm better. Like, you're fine. You're great. I like, amazing. You're like, oh, I love your hair, but I'm better. And meanwhile, that other person is probably like, I'm better than this bitch. Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's uncomfortable. Yeah. You said it, not me.
Good for you for doing it, though.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, and we're going to all be together on Christmas, too. So we'll see how that goes.
That's great.
Sounds fun.
But you are now, you have a boyfriend.
I do.
And it's going well.
Yeah, we've been together over a year. And, you know, I think because the craziness of COVID, like, you know, when everybody went into lockdown, we were about, I don't know, 5 months or so into our relationship. And we went fast. And we're also, like, in our 40s and, like, you know, it's like it's going to be or it's not going to be kind of thing. And we were very, like, you know, fell in love super fast. And then with COVID, we were like, you know, we're kind of locked down. We might as well be locked down together. And
we went for it.
We went for it. And we didn't, you know, we didn't like officially move in then, but like over the next few months, we were like basically living together. And then, you know, he officially gave up his place and we moved in together. And then we recently just bought a place in West Hollywood together. So,
and yeah. So how did, I'm actually just curious when, because Dry Bar started with your ex-husband.
Yes.
What's the, have you been able to like draw those clear, like do you still work with your, is he still involved?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm not involved in like the day to day like I used to be and I sure. haven't been for a couple of years. And Cam has always done the creative work for Dry Bar, but in the last, I think it was like maybe 2 or 3 years ago that Cam kind of branched out into his own agency. So he now does all the creative work for Dry Bar, but doesn't work in-house at Dry Bar. And like we started another company called Squeeze, which is this massage concept where it's also a brick and mortar and the same founding team as Dry Bar, but it's an app-based.
Sure.
Well, the everything is app-based about it, but it's an actual brick and mortar. So that's a client. And so now he takes on outside clients, but his like main biggest client is Dry Bar. So yes, there's a lot of overlap still. Like I do all of our product videos and, you know, there's like a handful of things that I'm still pretty involved in that overlap with what he and his team does. So, you know, initially, like I was saying, the early days were tough. So he has a big enough team where he didn't have to actually show up to, that he wouldn't show up to things like I was doing because we weren't like ready to be in a room together. But over time that changed. And now we do things together all the time. Cam and Adrian is my boyfriend now. Like they like each other and they have a good, nice relationship too. So.
Yeah. My ex-girlfriend of years ago, her now husband, like we were in the same friend group. Mm. So like there was never like a, like some of my exes, like I don't know where they are. Like,
yeah.
I can,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But like with my last ex of years ago, like I was able to meet her ex, and it wasn't because we had kids or anything. It was just because we had mutual friends. Yeah. There was like, okay, I'm going to meet your, and I don't know. I was like, yeah, you're pretty cool. I would probably be friends.
Yeah. That's kind of how they are. You know, they like, they genuinely seem to like each other. You know, I mean, there is that like awkwardness because, you know, of me, but there is, they do.
Way
they
to
do,
ruin it.
Yeah. I know. Sorry. They do like each other, and it does, you know, work. And, you know, I remember my son, my older son, when I first started dating Adrian, he said something to Cam like, aren't you mad? You know, this is when it was new. And he was like, aren't you mad, Dad, that there's like another man that like is around your kids or something like that?
Your son.
My son, my 15-year-old. And Cam's response was no. Like, I think Adrian's really great. And I think, it, you know, I really like that you have another like strong man in your life. And I think I was like, holy shit.
Very mature.
Very amazing. And it was so great for my son, you know, to hear that from his dad. And I think it like gave him permission to be like, okay, I can accept this guy and let him in. And my kids adore Adrian, you know, it's not a competition. They love their dad too, but they, you know, they give him different things.
Big shout out to your ex-husband for doing that. That's probably what a gift he gave.
Yeah. What a gift. Yes.
What was it about you, Adrian?
Adrian.
That, you know, for someone who was married for so long, obviously ex relationships are fantastic because hopefully we're supposed to like learn about what we liked and didn't like and then apply it to like fighting, you know, future stuff.
Yeah.
Were you able to do that? And what were some of the biggest things for yourself that, you know, you were able to like, you kind of said like, well, you know, you're older, so like you figure out what you like and don't like easier, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're lucky enough to meet someone who fits, then you feel more comfortable saying, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
It's a little different than when you're younger, you're just like, well, I love you.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't know if you're like right forever. Exactly.
I'll figure it out later.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, you don't know who you are, I think, when you're in your 20s and you don't realize that you're going to change so much. And yeah, I mean, I think that I learned a lot about what I, you know, the kind of the mistakes that I made in the marriage and the things that I didn't, you know, I was like a big avoider, I think, in my marriage. You know, we were having issues and I think we both were avoiding a lot of the things. And like I said before, like dry bar became this big distraction and this thing that we focus and our kids, you know, it was like dry bar and the kids, it was like our main focus. And we didn't focus so much on our relationship, you know, to really kind of oversimplify it. But, you know, now I think I'm a very different person having gone through the divorce, and I think I softened as a person a lot because of the divorce. You know, it was like extremely humbling, and like I said, I went through like this crazy depression, and you know, and I you know, I have since like apologized to my ex-husband for a lot of the shit that I did and the way I acted. And those were like pretty important lessons that I had to like really step back to learn. And, you know, things that I try not to bring into my relationship now, you know, but there are like hard old patterns that we have that are hard to break. But I'm aware of them now, where I don't think I was aware of them in my marriage because I wasn't really looking at it. And Adrian is like a very evolved dude. I mean, he coaches like founders and entrepreneurs for a living, and he's like, you know, everything is a big conversation, and he kind of doesn't let me get away with not talking about anything ever. So we have so much communication. It's such open communication and so much honesty, which I think was something that was missing in my marriage, that we weren't talking about things. We were just kind of like being
so
like,
he's kind of a yin to your yang.
He really is.
Like you might. You're just kind of naturally more of an avoidant personality when it comes to,
I feel
which
like
is,
I'm,
that's fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like I'm not. I loved it. I mean, I grew up in a big Jewish family, not big, but I grew up in a Jewish family, and my parents like talked everything to death. And but Cam wasn't really like that. And now, you know, Adrian is, and he loves to like, we talk, you know, we wax poetic about shit all the time. And that's something that I realized I didn't know that I wanted or needed in a partner, but that is something that is important to me, you know, is that there's no like stone unturned. We are talking about everything and nothing gets kind of, you know, pushed to the side, which I think was a mistake that I, you know, I made in my marriage that I learned from.
But I also find, cause I'm more like your Adrian, where I'm like, just talk it out, figure it out. In the past, that hasn't, in past relationships for me, like I was just annoying to that, you know?
Well,
just like,
he says that. He says, he'll say all the time, like, I know I'm being annoying and this is annoying. And sometimes I say to him, I'm like, babe, you got to pause. Like, you got to stop talking. I need to calibrate and like process before you keep going, you know. And he says that he thinks he can be annoying, and I really don't think it's annoying. Sometimes I just get like flooded.
Well,
I'm sure to other people,
I'm guessing if I were to talk to him, I'm like, you've had other girlfriends who have been like, just
enough.
You got real fucking annoying, right?
Yeah,
you just weren't a good match, right? They were.
And it's true.
To fight, and he was like not willing, I'm guessing, to like
go down that path. Like, he doesn't indulge in like. You know, I can like be a big fucking brat, and I can like throw a fit, and he just like won't indulge in that shit. Which is awesome.
I'd be curious talking to your ex-husband if
you should have Adrian and Cam on the show.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Exit like
the exes. I mean,
exes
well, no,
like
not exes. Oops.
I don't know what that label is. I don't know. I have to think of it, but I'm guessing. I'd be wondering, no, the way you're describing him, if I'm similar, that he's probably good at not indulging in it now.
Yeah.
For me, when I was like more immature, you know, being like a fixer, like or the ego of thinking I can do this, I would try to and not be like, you know what, this person isn't ready to have this conversation, but my stubbornness would meet their stubbornness.
Yes.
And then I would either go down, I'd fall in that trap of doing what they're doing and just get mad. It would make me really frustrated that I was talking to someone who didn't want to talk.
Yeah.
But I was like, I couldn't make them want to do what I wanted to do. That was on me.
Yeah.
But I really struggled with that as opposed to be like, you know what? I'm just not. You're not ready.
You and Adrian would have a field day talking. I mean, he's also different now than he was in his, you know, in his marriage and in his past relationship.
Was he also married in the past?
Yeah, and he has two kids from that marriage, and he wasn't married as long as I was, but you know, he was, you know, he also like, you know, was like had I don't want to talk too much about his marriage because it's his, but you know, he definitely had things that he was avoiding and not dealing with too when he like similar to like I did. I mean, our relationship is so new for both of us, and I mean, we say it all the time, like we've never been in such a like open, honest relationship as we are now.
Sure.
Both of us.
How'd you guys meet?
We met through a matchmaker.
Ooh.
I know. It was
obviously it worked for you guys. What
it
was
did.
That what's the difference between like a matchmaker and like your normal dating apps?
Well, I mean, I was using the dating apps and I just was like not meeting the right guys. It was like I would meet like a guy who had like never been married. And like for me, I was like, I think I need to be the guy who's like been married and like has kids and like is in like a similar boat mm-hmm. as me, you know. And then I'd meet guys who were like still wanting to have kids. And I was like, that ship has sailed. Like, I'm not having any more babies. And so, you know, it was meeting guys who just didn't like want the same things as
that. Yeah, it's a non-negotiable.
Yeah. So, you know, so when I met this matchmaker and I was like, wow, this seems like a better route to get somebody who's like much like more specific to my needs of what I want. I knew that I wanted, you know, a guy that, you know, was like a strong man who could like also deal with like all the complexities that I brought, you know. Mm-hmm. It was like, I have this big life and I have two almost grown boys. And, you know, it's just like, there was a lot of complications, a lot of things that I need. I wanted a really like strong, very like sure of himself guy who was like established and successful on his own. And you know, I had a couple, like a pretty like good list of things that I wanted. And that was the beauty of, you know, working with the matchmaker, that it was like, oh, you know, you can get kind of, we can try to find at least, you know.
Hmm.
And of course there's just like the chemistry thing that has to work, but yeah.
So for certain people, you're obviously an advocate for the matchmaking process.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I think to have somebody, you know, help you like narrow down the pool,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
You're a woman.
I am.
You're very successful.
Thank you.
Couple observations, kind of.
Nothing gets past you.
Obvious observations. There seems to be this stereotype or stigma, if you want to call it that, or thought process in society that men or some men are intimidated by successful, strong-minded women.
Yes.
Do you find that to be true?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of like the dating problem. You know, I found that like there was guys that I met who, you know, had like their own success and they were like living their lives and like, you know, had like a nice, you know, livelihood and whatever. But then they'd meet me and they'd say, oh, wow, like you've done really amazing things and you have built this big business and you've been on Shark Tank and you blah, 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 you know, what all the things. And I, there was this kind of natural, like I could feel like they just didn't feel like they, you know, they had gotten to the point where they wanted to get in their career and I had. And so that was like an intimidating environment for them to be around. And that was my experience. The first like handful of guys I dated after my divorce was like, oh, yeah, you know. I think there were a lot of guys who were intimidated, which was weird to me because I'm like, I don't really care. Like, I don't, you know, it's like that, all that shit doesn't matter to me. Like, I'm more concerned on you and who you are as a person and, you know, how much money you make or where you live and that kind of stuff. That really doesn't matter to me. You know, I just want the kind of person I want. And there's a lot of guys who were just like, no.
Do you think that's just, from a cultural standpoint, society has taught us that it's okay for a man to have this monstrous career and have that be an attractive quality rather than somehow, yeah, as a woman, you almost have to apologize for your success. Did you feel that?
Yeah. I mean, and I wasn't about to apologize for my success, but I, you know, I was like,
well, yeah, even if it's not like literal, but almost like mean. Of like, oh, you know, yeah,
right.
It's
like,
okay.
Like downplay it or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. It's just like, oh yeah, my God, like it's fine. It's not, I'm not that big of a deal, yeah, where like other guys like who aren't big
well,
deals
there is
will
such
like
a,
act
like
they're
yeah
a bigger deal than they really are.
I mean, there is such a double standard and you're right. It's like, you know, a rich, powerful guy, like, oh, every girl wants to date that guy because he's like, whatever, you know? And I actually like shied away from like dating like the CEO types because I, you know, also, by the way, in my experience, don't mean to stereotype, but I found those guys were also dating girls like, you know, in their 20s and 30s and they were in like their 50s. And I was like, what? I don't want to date that guy either, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, I do think that there is this weird double standard. And I, you know, and I think I felt that when I started dating that men were like, you know, it was like, to me, it was like, Adrian was like so perfect for me because he's, you know, he's successful in his job and in what he's doing, but he's just such a strong man. Whereas like a lot of the men I met were like, they were okay at their jobs, but they were like, you know, you have way too much success and that's not comfortable for me, to your point. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, I was very like, I guess like I should have maybe seen that coming, but I didn't at first. And I do think there's a weird double standard about that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I get asked that question a lot and I wonder if sometimes I'm not as objective as I could be because it just sounds weird. I don't feel like I've ever been bothered by that. In fact, yeah, I feel like I've always been attracted to that.
To successful women?
Yes.
Yeah. Which is great.
I have a hard time surrounding myself with people without a purpose.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
Like, I don't even care like if we're not dating romantically. Like, I just want you to, I'm passionate about whatever. I want to have passion,
yes,
about things or drive.
Like a zest for life.
It doesn't mean I always, yeah, have it. Sometimes I feel very lost if I don't feel passionate about, yeah, something. But I just, like, laziness is probably one of the most unattractive qualities that I can find,
sure,
in someone. So regardless of what you're doing, and it's not a success level, it's just like,
be passionate about it.
Just be
something,
passionate,
yeah,
about it. Like, I find it really attractive when someone's just like, I'm just really excited about this or,
yeah,
whatever. And
it is so attractive.
And like, you know, women I've dated, it's a big deal for me. And,
yeah,
so like when people have said it to me, other women, I've always been like, well, I don't think guys are like that, but it seems like some of them.
And I get the sense, you know, I'm just a speculation that like there are not all men are like that. Like,
yeah,
Adrian's like that. He loves like my, you know, my passion and drive, and he loves like my zest for life and all of that. But I think my guess is like there are a lot of men out there that like just want their like their girlfriend or their wives to like just, you know, just not have their own thing and just kind of support them, which like, by the way, nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, to each his own, you know, it's just like, it's kind of what makes you tick. Like, you know, like I said, Adrian wanted that in a woman. He wanted strong and be like someone who's going to go get shit done. He loves that about me, you know, which sounds like you love that in a woman too. I mean, not all men do. I mean, which is why, you know, the world goes round.
Yeah. I guess, you know, and I have some friends where it's just, maybe it's just the need. I don't know. I don't find it to be a very unsatisfying.
But I do think that there are men out there, I mean, I know there are, that are just like, you know, want a different kind of woman, that they want their woman to be like, you know, they're intimidated by a strong woman.
Somebody a little bit more submissive, in a sense.
I just couldn't spend that much time with someone that I couldn't value their opinion on a regular
basis. Well, you also like you want them to have their own thing, and you want them to not like be like waiting on you for whatever.
And I also want to be like, hey, what do you think about this? And value their opinion.
Right. Of course.
Hard to do if you're just on someone to just be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who knows? You know, I don't.
So what do you think for women out there who are listening to this and saying, oh, my God, Allie's my animal spirit. I have all these big dreams. I'm this big personality. I'm a lawyer, doctor, whatever. And they find the same struggle. Like their experience in dating has been guy after guy is feels emasculated by their success. Like what are some things that you think they should do in their dating life to, you know, weed out those people? And what are some things that you've been able to find? You know, I mean, well, maybe there's fine. Go get a matchmaker. But just more, you know, not wasting your time.
Yeah.
Like, in what were some things?
Well,
that you
I think that you can very quickly tell like the kind of guy who's like really interested. Those first conversations is a guy for me. It's like I want a guy that's like asking a lot of questions about me versus telling me a lot about him. You know, it's like show that you're really like when you're out there in the dating scene. Like if a guy is like really genuinely interested in like what you're doing and what you're passionate about, I think that's a good sign that like he is, you know, the kind of guy that wants to support you and wants to like be part of it and not going to get intimidated. In my experience, guys who are, you know, talking about themselves extensively and are like seem very have very little interest in like what I'm doing is like, it's a red flag. Like this is how it's going to be. I mean, you can tell a lot from those, you know, that first date, those first conversations.
Or like a one-upper.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they finally ask you a question about yourself. Yeah. They're like, oh, well, let me tell you why I'm also doing something you should be impressed by.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you know, like with Adrian, like our first interaction was on the phone and I'm such a texter. And I remember like we did start texting and then he called me kind of out of the blue. And I was like, why are you calling me? Like, but then we ended up talking and the very first time we spoke on the phone, it was like for 5 hours and we talked. And, you know, he asked me tons of questions and he really like, it felt to me like he really wanted to know me and who I was. And that was very attractive to me. And that wasn't like something I had experienced a lot of. It was, to your point, a lot of guys were like very like, puffing their chest and telling me all the things about them. And that I think is a good indication that's not the right guy.
Yeah. Wow.
I think she would have benefited from your like voice note conversation because I think that like she probably would have really benefited from that.
Do you use voice notes?
Sometimes.
It's great.
What is this like a thing?
I want it to be more of a thing. Yeah. It's one of those things for some reason. We did like a whole episode on it. Do you remember like when FaceTime first came out? I found that a lot of people were like, that's weird. Mm-hmm. Very resistant to it. Mm-hmm. And now it's just it's almost just like, why would you talk on the phone to someone that you could FaceTime? Especially if you're trying to have more of a intimate, like I don't FaceTime my manager. Like it's just tell me what you want. But just a more personalized conversation with someone you're trying to have a more personalized conversation. I text whatever, it's dangerous, whatever, you know, but like voice notes is a way to like, especially
in an early
dating situation.
Yes.
I just think it's a nightmare to text and much safer to
can't
voice.
Read the tone.
Can't read the tone.
I actually did date a guy right before I met Adrian who did that. And we were texting and then he all of a sudden sent me a voice note. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, oh, I can hear his voice. And you're right. I did. I was like, oh, I like his voice. And I actually liked this guy. And I was like, oh, am I supposed to do that now too? And then I did. And it was like one of the first times I had done it.
It's weird.
It is weird. But it is like, you're right. It is like his whole point was like, well, you can like get a feel for me based on my voice and you know, vice versa. So
intimate.
I think you're right. It is more intimate. You're totally right. And it's like funny when you mentioned FaceTime because like my kids don't call me. They FaceTime me. They never call me. Yeah. But they always FaceTime me. And sometimes I'm like in an interview or sometimes I'm doing... You guys chill with the FaceTime. But I love it too, especially like when they're with their dad.
Closing up, I mean, I guess what are some things that you feel like you should leave the audience with that you've learned from, that it's been really successful for you? I mean, this has been a great and fun conversation just because I feel like so many people listening are going to relate to the things that you've experienced with. But just final thoughts on how to have a life more like Allie.
Well,
just the good stuff, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but I think the bad stuff's important too. You know, I mean, I think, I guess if there's any like takeaway, I think for me and what I've learned, it's like, you know, just really, really following, you know, your gut and your intuition. And I know people say that all the time, but I mean, I think that like you really have to like go deep and figure out like, you know, are you living like your best life? Are you living the life that you want? Or are you settling because you think that's what you should be doing? Mm-hmm. You know, and for me, I was settling for a little while. I also was building this big business and doing this thing. And that was my focus for so long. But, you know, I think, you know, my best advice to people out there is like I said before, like life is short. And like, if you're in, you know, an unhappy marriage, maybe don't get divorced, but maybe try to fix it, you know, and it does rub off on your kids. And if you're in a job that isn't like fulfilling, change it. You know, I'm such a big believer in like kind of keep reinventing yourself and keep trying to figure out something that makes you happy, both professionally and personally. And, you know, obviously in this like crazy time that we're living in, it's like we happen to have a lot of friends who are going through divorces right now and people who are like, you know, having a really hard time. But I think there is the silver lining in all of it is like, it is a really reflective time. We have more time to ourselves than we've ever really had. It's like use that time to like kind of redefine yourself and figure out, you know, what's best and next for you.
Yeah, I totally agree. I haven't been divorced, but I still think the time when I was first engaged and got broken up with and found out I was cheated on, well, that all sucks. And I thought it would never happen to me. It was easily the most like reflective and maturing part of my life.
For sure. I mean, it's like
humbling
darkness.
The humble.
The light.
Yeah. The humbling true. Experience. Like, okay, that can happen to me. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
it
that's
does.
Fine.
It's good. It's really good. I mean, I think it's good to get knocked down like that. Not, I mean, I'm sorry that happened to you.
No,
but
no, it's great. I personally could use that. It was fine.
Yeah.
I
mean, me too. I mean, having gone through like what I went through in my divorce and having to like deal with that was like, oh wow. Like being knocked on your ass can be really good for you and again, very therapeutic, and you grow a ton from it.
Yeah. And power through those down times.
Yes. I mean, I feel like there was like so many years where all, you know, like, well, there was like a good year. It was like me and my friends kind of joked about like, you know, the only way through is through. And that was like, you know, it really was like, you have to go through it. I really tried to like circumvent. I really tried to like, what's like the fast pass? What can I do? Because that's just like what I know.
Yeah.
But I was like, fuck, I really just have to go through all this. And I did. And it sucked. And it sucked really bad. But I came out on the other end much stronger.
Well, that's awesome. And thank you for sharing that story. Because I know that a lot of people listening are going to find this to be motivating and a little glimmer of hope and motivation. Sorry for all the husbands who are about to get served divorce papers. I mean, listen, like you said, we don't advocate for it, but sometimes it is necessary.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people avoid making the changes out of fear of the unknown, sure. Shame, guilt, regret.
And I would say to like people, if anybody out there listening who's on like unhappy in their marriage or thinks they might be on the brink of divorce, like, just now's the time to get really honest. You know, I mean, Adrian and I actually did a live this week about that, and we talked a lot about that. Like, you just have to, like, you might be scared to tell your partner or husband, whatever, that, you know, you don't like this or that and you're unhappy about it. They may not understand that and they may not know that. So I feel like just come clean with everything and you'd be surprised like how far it'll get you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
Allie Webb on Instagram, ALLWEBB. That's probably the best place to find all the things that I have going on. I'm working on a new book right now. I have a TV show in the works and I have all sorts of fun projects. So I'm super excited about it. Yeah.
Awesome. You also have a podcast?
Oh shit. Yes. I have
probably a good place to plug podcasts.
That's why I'm here. Oh my god. I'm like thinking so much about like personal and relationships. Adrian and I have a podcast called Raising the Bar, where we interview entrepreneurs, impact leaders, and then we have once a week we drop one that's called Shit That Bugs Us or Shit That We Love, where it's kind of talking about this kind of stuff like relationships and customer service stuff that like bugs us about the world. And
customer service, I could talk a lot about.
Yeah, I mean, oof, that's like a huge one for us. And like kind of like a lot of, if you listen, they're like 15-minute episodes. They're really short, but they're usually like the things that we find that annoy us about, like when you walk into a restaurant and you walk into a store and people are shitty to you, like just don't do that. It's easier to be nice, and I'm going to give you my money. Be nice to me. You
know? People are like, basic sorry, stuff. We can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
You don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Just say that to me.
Yes, exactly.
I've made people admit that to me, or I don't want, they don't want to admit it to me, and then they give me what I want.
Well, it's funny because like Adrian will do that. We'll be in a restaurant and, you know, somebody's not, someone does like something stupid like that, and he's like, he'll say, but no, but you can. And I'm always like, babe, they don't think, they're not empowered to, like, they, you know, they're, and they will give you this like bullshit answer, like, well, that's not our policy. And whatever. It's like, it doesn't really matter. You just, you know, you're just like, you don't really care. You're not getting paid enough to care. And,
yeah.
You know,
and you're the only thing you have the power to say is no, yes. Which,
and then the, like, I'm sorry you feel that way, which is like my least favorite thing on the entire earth. Like, I'm sorry you feel that way is like,
I hear
nobody
you.
Nobody should ever say that.
You know, yeah. We were like, I understand you're upset.
Yeah. Like, no, no. Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
It's the worst.
Still can't do it.
Yeah.
Stop saying can't. I'd rather you just tell me I don't want to help you.
Yeah.
And I'd actually be.
No, honesty. It's like, just be honest. Yeah. Yes.
It's like, hey, listen, I'm not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
But I get it.
Or I might get fired if I do that. Then you're like, okay, shit, I don't want to get this person fired. But don't just be a dick.
Yeah.
So there should be a podcast called Don't Be a Dick.
Well, coming soon in 2021 on the Vile Files.
Atlee, thanks so much for coming on. It's been a ton of fun.
Yes.
Check out her podcast and her and Adrian's podcast.
Yes, not, Raising the Bar.
Just, yeah, we want to give Adrian the shout out.
Give him some love. Raising the Bar
on all podcasts forming.
Yeah,
I listened to it today on Spotify.
Oh,
and
you did?
I also checked it out on iTunes. Oh. I confirmed that it's on both of those.
Oh, thank you for that. So. Well, you said it. You heard it here, people.
Well, guys, thanks for listening. Yes. As always, it's been a ton of fun. Don't forget to subscribe. Send your questions at asknick@castmedia.com. Cast with a K. And if there's nothing else, we will see you on Monday.